You're listening to Like a Real Boss podcast, where we go beyond the title and unravel the complexities of being a boss. If you're a head honcho, top dog, or queen bee, this is for you. Get insight from experienced leaders and passionate workers. This is your wake-up call. Ready to get bossified? Now, your host and the real-life boss, Tiana Sanchez.
Welcome and thank you for joining another episode of Like a Real Boss. I'm your host, Tiana Sanchez, and thank you for tuning in to another episode today. We always consider it an honor that you've chosen this podcast to tune into. So thank you again for listening. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, really just about anywhere you get your podcasts. So this is the place where you get tips, tricks, trends, tools, where we talk about the stuff so you can be a better boss podcast. And I have a special guest today that I'm not going to take up any more of your time talking about me. I'm going to introduce our guest today. I have the privilege and honor of interviewing and talking today with Omar Harris. He is the founder of Intent Consulting, and he has been on my radar for a little while, right? So we've talked through email. We've talked a little bit about him coming on the show because he has his book, and I just love the name of it, which is all about being a Jedi leader. That's J-E-D-I leader, not a boss. Now, interestingly, my show's called Like a Real Boss, so I'm interested in seeing how we can kind of segue this together. But he's a business and servant leadership thought leader, award-winning, best-selling author of not one, not two, not three or four, but five books. Yes, I said that right. He has over two decades of experience in global pharmaceutical as an executive, and he's worked just on all the continents. I mean, a lot of continents, from Middle East to Latin America. So before I give them any more information, Omar, let me just welcome you officially to the show.
Thank you, Tiana. Very happy to be here with you and happy to discuss this boss thing that we're talking about.
Yes. And, you know, I've used the term boss to kind of make it, you know, kind of play with it a little bit, because, you know, we all have this idea of a boss. It kind of sounds, I think to different people, it sounds, it kind of maybe has a little negative connotation to it, but I wanted to kind of flip that script a little bit, We can talk about that. So share with everyone. I always like to start off asking a question about how did you get to where you are? You have five books, you own your own company, you've traveled various continents across the world. How did you end up doing what you're doing now?
I think I've, and thank you for that introduction as well. I think I've always been someone who is a seeker. So seeking learning, seeking opportunity, seeking to develop and continuously improve. So my career really was about being thrown into very difficult situations and kind of thriving in those complex and difficult situations. I was a pharmaceutical sales rep at the age of 21, living in Detroit, Michigan. I was an intern in pharmaceutical international marketing in Sao Paulo, Brazil, when I was 23 for 18 months. I didn't speak the language when I first got there, and I had to learn on the fly. I became one of the youngest marketing directors in the history of my company and senior marketing directors ever, without having spent decades doing the job. So I had to, once again, kind of rely on my talents and my ability to connect and bring people together. You know, moved to the Middle East, moved to Southeast Asia as a general manager, back to Brazil as a general manager. And all along the way, really just leaning into my people orientation and being someone who achieves success through developing people. And I think as I was going through my journey and matriculating through my career, I saw a need for more actual practical examples of leaders like myself. And so I started writing blogs and putting out my books to say, listen, there is an alternative to, and I'm sorry to say this, there's an alternative to the boss archetype in corporations. Yeah. And you don't have to do it by doing it the way you've seen it done in the past. There's a way that you can do this job and still sleep at night and still stick to your values, morals, and things you truly believe and still make a difference in the world. And so that's what I really stand for, is helping to empower people to live their best lives by adopting servant leadership principles and eliminating toxic boss behaviors.
Well, and I like that you called yourself a seeker. I don't think I've ever had anyone describe themselves as that characteristic. You know, we hear some of the similar terms of, you know, leadership characteristics or people describing themselves, and using the word seeker really stands out to me. Question for you: when you were in your mid-20s, right? So you were working as a pharmaceutical executive at correct? I think I heard you say 21 or somewhere around there.
Well, the sales rep at 21, and then I got into marketing at 25 once I got my MBA.
Okay. So still somewhere in your mid-20s. And I think of, you know, I have a son who's 23 years old. And, you know, I think that what the success ladder for us looks like a little different maybe for them. It's maybe not upwards. It may be, you know, zigzagged and everything like that. When you were in your 20s, did you ever envision that you would, be an author, that you would have aspired to this place in your career today? Did you have that in you at that age?
So when I was in business school at Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, Florida, which is an HBCU, the first week we were in school, we were required to do something called the Nothing Book, which was basically a journal we were supposed to take that had various tasks that we had to accomplish within 6 weeks. One of those tasks was to identify 50 things we wanted to do before we died. And on that list, like number three on the list for me was write books.
Wow.
And so I knew that I wanted to do it. I started writing my first novel, the first book I ever published, when I was 23. So at your son's age, I was embarking on the journey to write my first novel, which took me 12 years to write, publish, and get it out into the world. But now we're working on turning it into a TV series. So, you know, everything kind of comes full circle.
Well, that's exciting. So, you know, much success for you in that endeavor. I'm hoping everything works out. So congrats there. You know, I can only imagine. Oh my gosh, 50 things to do. Wow. And number three was writing a book. Speaking of books, you have written five, and I think I got that number correct. This latest book is about Jedi leadership. Now, I know someone's listening and they're probably thinking like, Jedi, what does that mean? You know, can you help tell us why you wrote this book and what Jedi leadership is?
Right. So Jedi leadership, the term Jedi was a term coined in the environmental space, actually, in the U.S. by a couple of key individuals, principally a guy named Marcelo Ponta was the first person to really coin the phrase Jedi. And Jedi means, you know, there's a lot of alphabet soup when it comes to, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging and all these different letters. What do they mean? But Jedi, I think it really encapsulates the whole idea of what we're trying to do in the world and in business and in government, which is justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. So we want to eradicate injustices, eliminate inequities, expand diversity, and enhance inclusion in all aspects of our lives and all areas and arenas. And so I picked up on that term. I just happened to be the person to put it into a leadership book for corporate leadership and also connect it with stakeholder capitalism, which is the next generation of where corporations are moving toward, which is not only just providing value for shareholders and aligning investors' pockets, but also being a force for good in the world by also enhancing employees' lives, customers' lives, building up communities, not destroying the environment, actually regenerating the environment, and still being able to provide profits for shareholders. And so with that new lofty goal and aspiration that's being put out there, I figured that the only way companies can really achieve this is by really embracing the principles of Jedi leadership, which is why I wrote the book to kind of give the blueprint for how to get there.
And this book was published in, was it published in 2021, Omar?
Yeah, June 25th on my birthday this year.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Okay. So, well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. So now, was this book in the making right at the height of COVID in 2020, like early 2020? Had you already started writing and kind of building on this concept and then said, hey, I need to escalate this? Or was it something you had already thought about years ago?
I published a book in 2019 called Leaderboard, the DNA of High Performance Teams. And that book came out. And just when it came out, I realized that the reader reaction was telling me that people wanted to know more about servant leadership. And so I decided to write a shorter book called The Servant Leader's Manifesto, which would delve deeper into the topic of servant leadership specifically, because that was one of the things that people were grabbing onto from the Leaderboard book. And I published Servant Leader's Manifesto in April of last year. And 2 months later, I started writing the Jedi book because same thing, reader reaction was, okay, servant leadership is great, but what about with all the things happening around this world now, the pandemic and social injustice and the protests and this very pivotal election? And I realized that, you know, servant leadership gets you part of the way there because it helps reorient corporations toward the value creators who add value for customers. But what about employees? What about the communities? What about the environment? And so that I realized I had to expand the leadership definition to include those things. And that's where I got to Jedi Leadership.
I see. And so you're just not just a serial entrepreneur who likes to write and publish books every year, but there's definitely intention and purpose around it. And this is, again, an important side note, a little fun fact that, you know, the audience that you're targeting, again, when you start to see that it's resonating with people, that is a good indication. Hey, I need to spend some time on this. Let me pick up on this a little bit more, see how much deeper I can go. And you certainly did. And I believe it's going to help a lot of people, especially, I mean, young, new, emerging leaders, seasoned leaders who sometimes get set in their ways and, you know, may not evolve. But I want to know why this book, Jedi Leadership, is needed now more than ever for our business leaders. Why now?
So I was literally writing an article last night, and you'll love this title, called Businesses Don't Need Bosses.
I do love it. I do.
And this title, because I'm writing an article, I'm trying to get it in Forbes or Inc. or one of those major publications, but some startling statistics that inform why we're here. First of all, everyone's been kind of raised awareness of this whole great resignation or turnover tsunami trend, right? 11.5 million Americans resigning from their jobs in the last quarter. So in the second quarter, 11.5 million people decided to quit their jobs. And it's the biggest mass resignation we've ever seen since the data's been tracked. Not unemployment, not involuntary termination, but voluntarily leaving company. And when they're posed and asked, so a company it's called the Predictive Index, did some research on this topic, real-time research, and I just saw the report yesterday. But in the report, they state that the reason why they're leaving is 72% of people say that who have bad bosses say they're going to leave their company in the next 12 months versus 27% of people who say they have good bosses. So the boss really, really matters in this equation of talent retention. And now also what matters is companies walking the talk, right? So you can't just talk about being on the side of right and being aligned with Black Lives Matter and all these social justice issues and then not follow through. So what we're seeing is two different things converging. We're seeing companies making verbal and big public commitments and their employees expecting them to basically follow through. And some companies, a lot of companies, not actually following through because there were billions of dollars committed last year and only like $200 million has been actually spent in the last 12 months. So a lot of talk, a little less action. And then what you're seeing is the continued toxicity of dealing with bad managers or bad bosses, right? Those two things converging. So people like, listen, I'm opting out. I'm going to choose a different path for myself. And also the third trend is we live in a world where the choices between getting a higher education, getting saddled with loans, going to work for a company and being told you have to work your way up and not being valued as a young, energetic person coming into an organization, that's less attractive than some of these options that are available to young people today, which is basically, there's a lot of ways to make $30,000 to $40,000 a year now.
That's right.
And the last thing is basically employers are having to pay more. So if you know that this is a employee's market, which it is right now, then, you know, you might leave for $10 more an hour or $5 more an hour, you know, go down the street. So these are all the things that are converging that create this. So why Jedi Leadership? Well, if leaders, first of all, were more oriented towards their employees, developing their employees and understanding how to derive the diversity of their employees, they would create these better, more professional and better intimate relationships with their staff. That would allow them to understand the injustices that these people will face, the inequities that they're experiencing, how the diversity is not really being valued by the organization, and the fact that they're not really being included and don't really feel like they belong. So when a leader is in tune with their people, they're able to actually begin to finally solve these big problems that it, once they're out of the way, everybody can thrive. And it's the leader's job. I don't care if you're a line manager, first line manager with 10 employees, or you're a divisional regional manager with hundreds of thousands of employees, the same principle applies. And that's why I wrote the book, because if you don't embrace these principles, you try to ignore Jedi issues. First of all, you're creating more business risk. Second of all, you're going to lose your talented employees. And third of all, you're not going to succeed.
So I have a very important question based on what I heard you say. because it just clicked for me right now. You know, I started working when I was 17 years old and became a manager around that same age. No, I worked, started working when I was 16, but I started managing at 17. Mm. And when I thought of a bad boss back then, it wasn't because they weren't necessarily developing me. It wasn't because I didn't necessarily feel valued or I didn't feel a sense of connectedness, let's say. You know, in my mind, a bad boss was someone, you know, treated you poorly, maybe said something, you know, to you inappropriately, or, you know, when you,
right,
growing up, it was like, oh, you know, they harassed you, or they, you know, did mm-hmm. this, or I mean, it was like extremes, right? And so
right.
what I'm hearing you say, and this is really, I want to ask you a question. What is a bad boss in 2021? What right. is that for people? Because I'm listening, and maybe I have listeners listening that are thinking they're in line with what you're saying. And I might be thinking, well, is that really a bad boss? So in your, if you can just help us understand, what is a bad boss considered today in 2021?
Well, first of all, let's define boss before we get to bad boss, because inherent in the term boss is toxicity. So, and I'm going to give you two different points on this, Tiana. So the first thing about to be a boss is someone to be who puts their self-orientation and their own career objectives above those of their team. So you can be a boss, right? And you can be individual contributor. Like if you are an entrepreneur, you can be a boss. Being a boss is desirable in that context because you're trying to empower yourself to achieve your goals, right? So you want to be a boss. But the moment you have people working for you, being a boss becomes problematic because the boss orientation is towards the self and towards the ego, not towards the people, right?
Yep.
And that's where the problem occurs. So the very act of being a boss is toxic because the ego only creates toxicity when it's all about me and not about the work and not about the purpose, not about the mission and not about the people who have to do that mission. So the moment you can be a boss by yourself, but the moment you get people working for you, it's time to drop that label and become a servant, someone who serves and supports in order to achieve objectives. And that's really the point. So everybody who is a boss is toxic in 2021. That's the point I'm trying to make. If you see yourself as a boss and you're leading people, you're embracing toxicity and you're not embracing actually modern leadership principles, which are more about leading with humility, will, and empathy, being someone who listens well, being someone who actually cares about the employee well-being, someone who actually develops and coaches people to achieve success, someone who puts other success above themselves. That's not a boss. That's not even a manager. That's a leader. And so
yes.
we're trying to go from bosses to leaders. And in my case, in my parlance, Jedi leaders, because once again, those things you experienced when you were coming up, that's injustice. Anybody who harasses you, that's unjust behavior. That person should have been fired, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's injustice. These systemic injustices have existed since work existed.
Right.
People have been treated like crap for hundreds of years when it came to for-profit work. And so that's why the J is so important in the Jedi, because we have to eliminate these toxic actors from the system and show that these people are not going to be protected by the system. Right now, unfortunately, there are a lot of companies who protect the boss. These bosses are protected. They're like made men, like in the mob, like they're made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know where the bodies are buried. They can't be fired. But all that does is tell the people working underneath them that this is the path to success. And if that's the path to success, then we're not going to achieve the higher order goals of businesses, which is to really enhance lives and enhance communities and enhance the environment and stop doing all this negative damage we're doing because we're so self-oriented and we can't look outside of ourselves.
So we need to be more others-centered leaders. We need to, using your words, not only tapping into the J, E, D, and the I, but you use the term servant. And servant leadership also is something that many of my listeners have heard that term as well. But it is focusing on the other individual. It's letting them know that they feel appreciated and valued, making sure that there's a sense of belonging and inclusion, and that, again, fairness, equity, and justice is happening in the organization. And I often say this, just because you have something that's anti written in your policies and procedures doesn't mean you're pro something else. Like it needs to be explicit, not implied. We can have an anti-harassment policy. That doesn't mean we're pro something else necessarily and vice versa. So it has to be very explicit. And so I just wanted to clarify, because again, when I hear the term, you know, bad boss or bad leader, so many different things come to mind. But if we have this great resignation, 11.5 million, as you described, that if voluntarily leaving, 72%, you said along the lines of bad bosses, toxic behavior, toxic work environments, this is its own pandemic. This is its own epidemic of workplaces today. So what hope is there for us? Omar, give us some hope.
Well, there's a lot of hope. There's only hope. I mean, actually, when you hit rock bottom, there's only hope. And so I'm very positive about the prospects of corporations. One, because I think that CEOs are recognizing that their business has to do more, has to be more. And they're trying to align their organizations away from toxicity and towards that sense of altruism and higher order needs of providing more for more value for this variety of stakeholders. So I think that you're seeing this awakening, right, of people doing that. And I think also that the social justice, this conversation we're having about critical race theory and what's right and what's wrong and all these things, I'm happy that it's out in the open because it was underneath the rug for so many years. And people, you know, it's sort of like the Me Too movement. People were getting oppressed and they were being harassed and they were being treated horribly and they couldn't speak up. And now everybody's speaking up. And so there's no place to hide anymore. The transparency requirement is so high that it will force companies and leaders to go fall in line because they don't want to be the next leader burned on Twitter, right? Nobody wants to be that person. So I think that the environment, while some people hate this whole idea of cancel culture and whatever it is, for me, I translate cancel culture into true transparency, authenticity. You can't be hiding stuff, right? You kind of have to walk the talk.
Have you seen, since you're a seeker, have you sought out, do you see companies that are getting it right, that are actually doing the work, that are making the changes, that are calling bad behavior, and not tolerating unethical behavior? In your work with clients, have you seen some changes? Have you worked with people and they started one way and then through working with you, they've changed? But really interested in who's getting it right.
Well, there's a whole movement called B Corporation, B Certification, which is done by this nonprofit organization called the B Lab. And the B Lab is basically, if you go for a B Corporation certification, it says that in order for you to achieve a B Corporation certification, you have to achieve a number of criteria. First of all, you have to have a company full of Jedi leaders. You have to be tuned into stakeholder capitalism issues, things that go beyond profit motive. And you have to really be, I mean, the environmental part of the B Corporation is very, very crucial, which is you really have to be a company that's keen on not doing further damage to the environment and your operations. And so there's companies like Patagonia, Ben & Jerry's, Danone US, Natura, who are doing phenomenal work in the space. But you also have companies that are emerging, like, you know, I would say AbbVie in Chicago, which is a Chicago-based pharmaceutical company who makes Humira, which is the number one pharma product in the world, $22 billion in sales for one drug. This company really took a strong stand during the social justice protests. I've done work with some of the leaders at AbbVie around Jedi leadership, and I'm seeing them not only talk about these issues, but really create safe spaces for employees. They have a lot of, you know, single identity spaces for employees where like the Black community and the Latinx community and the LGBTQIA community can kind of have safe spaces amongst themselves to figure out what their agenda is within the corporation. So recognizing that there's a life outside the corporation and how they can work together to really enhance the purpose of the organization. So you have companies like AbbVie doing great work. I think the NBA and WNBA are doing phenomenal work right now under the leadership of Adam Silver. So yeah, there's a number of organizations who I would point to that are inspirational in this effort, and a whole lot of companies who need to catch up.
Yes. And I just, while we were chatting, I was like, ooh, I'm going to Google this certified B Corporation, because I do remember reading about it quite some time ago. And literally right on their page, you see the Ben & Jerry's, you see, Patagonia, you see Bombas. I want to say they do the socks or something like that. Lemonade, which is a great restaurant by any means, not plugging, you know, for the sake of plugging. But, and I remember last year, I should say, and I don't know prior years, but I remember Ben & Jerry's was very vocal on social media. I mean, they were like, I don't give a flippity flip of how this makes anybody feel. We're going to speak it, and we're going to speak it loud and clear. And I was doing a secret cartwheel in my home because I was like, thank you. This is important. So there are companies that are getting it right. And I imagine that there's more work that needs to be done. Hence, you're in your line of work. You're doing what you're doing. Is there a sixth book in the making?
So now, once again, every time I publish a book, I take a moment to reflect, and then I look at the reaction to the new book. And what I'm getting back from the Jedi book is people are super enthusiastic and excited about it, but they want more practical tips. And so now I'm working on a book literally called The Work, which is, it's a three-volume book. So it's three books.
Oh, wow.
And it goes from individual work, so to become the best leader you can become, to become a team leader, and to become an organizational enterprise leader. So the first book is in self-leadership. It starts with the self. So we go through the 13 behavioral attributes of self-leadership, of self-management. Then the second book will be all about the keys to being a great team leader. And the third book will be about practical keys to being an enterprise leader in today's day and age. And so every book will start with an assessment that allows you to assess where you are today. And then the chapters of the book, so like Choose Your Own Adventure, wherever you're strong, you start and you can read those chapters to enhance your strengths. And then you work down to your weakness areas and how you develop those areas as well. So we always go strength to weakness because of positive psychology. We don't do weakness to strength because it takes so much more effort to develop a weakness into a strength than just take a strength and go further with it. And that's the design of these next three books, which hopefully will all come out together next year.
Well, we got to stay on top of you because you constantly moving forward and the momentum has not stopped since 2019 and probably earlier than that.
No,
so
ma'am.
As we come to the close of our interview today, and I'm just going to say you have an open invitation to come back because I love talking to you. It's
Thank
great.
You.
I love this
Thank
dialogue
you.
That we're having. So I tend to ask my guests this question toward the end. Similarly, not quite exactly, but I had a revelation moment, you know, kind of 2019, 2020. And I wrote an ebook, it's like a white paper, and it was on conscious leadership. Believe it or not, it's called The Awakening. So
nice.
When you said
like
The Awakening, I was like,
I like
hey.
That.
And
I like that.
In it, I talked about conscious leadership. So again, in the realm of leadership, but different in the sense of, because you can look at conscious a couple of ways, like being awake and self-awareness,
right.
But then it was really just being in tune to some of the issues and current, like being conscious, being aware of the injustices and things like that. So when you hear the term, and I'm going to ask this of you before we wrap up, when you hear conscious leadership, what does that say to you? What does that mean to you? Just you're out of the gut. Like, what does that mean for you?
Yeah. So one of the things that, you know, high performance individuals practice is mindfulness, right? And what is the practice of mindfulness about? It's about being in the moment, being aware of yourself and your emotions in real time. Because the mindfulness practitioners preach the fact that the only thing we actually can control is our attitude or our proactivity and also how we react to things that happen to us, right? And the key to managing yourself is truly mindfulness. And so when I hear conscious leadership, I hear mindful leadership. I hear being highly aware and in tune with yourself and with those around you. And for me, that would make you just the idea of raising your own internal awareness meter towards, you know, your own self and the thing. For example, I'll give you a personal example. You know, I know when it's around lunchtime, I become a worse human being. You know, all this talk about, you know, servant leadership,
it goes
out the window. I become a bear. I become a whole different human being. So, but I'm aware of that around myself and I can sense my patience shortening and all. So I cancel human interaction and I go eat something. Because I want to maintain my higher self state more often than not, right? And so you have to do that. People expect that of leaders. They expect us to have kind of, you know, to use the Star Wars analogy, Jedi-like qualities. Like they expect us to be patient and kind and caring more often than not. That's how you get the best out of people, not by berating and not by letting your negative or worse self come out all the time. So that's what I hear. When you say conscious leadership, I hear mindfulness, I hear mindful leadership, and I hear the work that needs to be done to create that mindful state, which links very strongly with the work with the book I'm doing right now, actually.
Yes. And I wrote down the awareness meter. I like that because that to me just, it brought a whole picture to mind. Like, you know, it's a spectrum or it's a gauge of, you know, how aware am I? And I want to say I read it something, like maybe not too long ago that said most people think they're aware, like 80 something percent, in reality it's like 12 to 14%. And I can believe that. So, you know, whether you're someone who has that degree of awareness, the awareness meter or not, it's important that you become more mindful and you can start to recognize those things. And sometimes it's people around you that can help you recognize those things. And I think this conversation today will bless some folks, will bless some new leaders, some seasoned, mature leaders that, again, have been set in their ways, but are looking for ways to become a better leader, that are saying, you know what? I don't have to lead the way that I've always led. I need to try something different so I can get different results, because I guarantee your workforce today didn't look like it did 10 years ago. And going forward, it's going to look a lot different as well. So thank you again so much for being a guest on the show. And if people want to get a hold of you, if they want to get a copy of any of your multiple books or connect with you, Omar, how can they do that?
So if you go to my website, www.omarlharris.com, you can find all of my, you know, more about me, find the books. On my website is the only place I sell autographed copies of my books. You can, of course, get all my books on amazon.com in print, ebook, and I have two audiobooks out for the Servant Leaders Manifesto and the latest book, Be a Jedi Leader, Not a Boss, that are also out. And I do speaking engagements, whatnot. You can find that at www.jedileader.com. So if you want me to speak to your organization or inspire your organization, you'd like the sound of my voice, and we can talk about that too.
Well, if anyone does hire you from listening to this podcast, shoot me over, let me know, shoot me a message or something, because I'd love to know, you know, how people are connecting with you. And
thank you.
As Omar said, hop on over to Amazon. You can get a copy, or if you want a signed copy, you go to his website, omarlharris.com. You can learn more information, and you are on LinkedIn. Yes.
Yes, I am. LinkedIn.com/n/OmarLHarris. Very active on LinkedIn. I'm all over LinkedIn.
Yes, me too. I love it. It's a great platform. So connect with Omar. He is someone I guarantee your company will thank you for. You will thank him just for being, you know, in the presence and hopefully having some of that insight rub off on you. So thank you again for being a guest. Thank you for tuning in as a listener. Again, you can find us on Stitcher, Spotify, and iTunes. And as always, before I leave, I'd like to end with this quote, which is, everyone wants to succeed, but not everyone is willing to do the work. If you are willing, I will help you do your work. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Like a Real Boss podcast with Tiana Sanchez. We are your ambassador, helping you go from good to great to extraordinary. To learn more about awesome offers, training programs, books, and more, head over to www.nolimittoyoursuccess.com. Until next time.